Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to the fans, athletes, insiders, real-time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. You can share experiences on the app. I mean, basically, this is just like pretty much like if you're on Twitter and you know you're watching a game with other people and you're commenting all kind of stuff, except you're in the green room, you're doing this here, where you don't have to worry about some moron with 10 followers trolling you and whatnot. You're basically in your own little comfort zone. So check it out, you guys. Go to Spotify Green Room. Go to the iOS or Android App Store. Go download, create your profile, link your Twitter, and have fun. All right, guys, welcome to our Pit Panther Rants and our Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by the sports drink. Sip, sip, gulp, gulp. I'm not sure what their slogan is. I think it's drink up. I forget what it is. So much is going on. Since we last talked, not much going on in the pit realm. Let's see. Well, not so much in pit sports, but there was a sign that Sheetz was going to. And my phone is sliding, and I can't get to stop sliding because I have the on it. I took the OtterBox off it because, well. The OtterBox tends to be a pain in the ass. Let me put it over here and be done with it. How about that, huh? Alright, you hear some shuffling around? Yeah. So there was a sign outside the gas station on Forbes near that little parking garage near Myron that a Sheetz was coming soon. And it created a whole bit of rage, not so much rage, but, excitement on Pit Twitter because, a Sheetz was coming. And, of course, one of my friends went to IUP for like a year, and I remember there was a Sheetz right across from the campus, and that was a really good hangout place, for a lot of kids, and especially, if you need that late night snack, I mean, you can go across the street, get your MTO, and I'm not sure what else they got now these days. I know last time I went to Sheetz, it was for nostalgia purposes. Probably 2019 was the last time I went. Yeah, I mean, that has so much different stuff there you can order from and eat. The burgers felt like they changed a little bit. I don't know. It just didn't seem the same. But that pretzel, that pretzel roll is, you got to have the pretzel roll if you're going to get a Sheetz burger. But they had so much other stuff there, too. I mean, I think they had tacos and a whole, Lord knows. I mean, knowing them, they'll have like fajita bars and birria tacos and all kind of stuff eventually at that place. But, when you go there, you got to get the Gallagher's iced tea. Gallagher's iced tea is phenomenal. You got to get it. I mean, you can't leave Sheetz without Gallagher's. I mean, I did have the coffee the one time there at Sheetz, and I think it was when I was there in 2019 as well, or maybe 2018, but the coffee at Sheetz was really good too. I mean, I will say they've brought their A game to a lot of things, and they've had to because Johnny Eagle has the Get Go, and the Geckos have expanded. I mean, they have all kind of entrees that come out. I know because, you know, Dejan Kovacevic is always taking pictures of him at Sheetz, trying something new. You know, go here and get the nuclear waste sub. New at get-go. You know, something like that. But, yeah, but it turns out it was a hoax. And, well, which kind of sucks, but that's just unfortunate. Maybe it opens a conversation for a Sheetz, but I don't think there's any Sheetz inside of, say, Pittsburgh, I don't think. I mean, I think there's one out in Monroeville, I think. There's one. They put one by Century 3 Mall, I saw the one time, and I was kind of dumbfounded because they got one on Curry Hollow Road, you know, going towards Bethel Park. They have that. I mean, that one's been there for the last 20 years, I think. They put that Sheetz in, I think, 98, I think, or 99, or 98, 98 they put that Sheetz in. Yeah, that Sheetz has been there for over 20 years. And maybe they just couldn't handle the volume there. I don't know, but yeah, they put one, you know, down by, down past, going down 51, they put one. And I said, do they really need that there? I mean, what's the deal? But I think inside of Pittsburgh, I don't think there really is any. I think Gecko dominates that. You know, it's like, you know, but of course they have Geckos in West Mifflin too. So, I mean, maybe it's a Pittsburgh type of thing where it's like, you know, like conference territories, which we'll get here in a minute with the conference expansion. But, you know, that's just something. But when I was at Sheetz, when I would go there, my go-to was always the pretzel burger. And I also like the nachos. I mean, I used to get the nachos with the cheese. And the cheese wasn't too bad. You just need to add the jalapenos with it to give it some more of a, you know, more of an accent to it. Because, I mean, the cheese wasn't bland, but it just needed a kick to it. You know, I mean, that's what irks me about people when they make nachos. They use just straight cheddar cheese, and you got to throw some jalapeno juice in that bad boy. I mean, you got to mix it together and, you know, get some kick to it. I mean, because otherwise, it's just a bland-ass cheese. I mean, I've seen it so many times, and it's tragic. You got to have really good nacho cheese, or otherwise, you just basically just melted cheddar on a damn freaking nacho chip. Now, let's get to some other fun things. Conference expansion happened. Oklahoma and Texas notified the Big 12 of leaving that they're leaving. And, they're leaving and they're going to the SEC. And they applied and it's all, you know, all done, and they're pretty much going to be there. And, you know, this is going to be their last year in the Big 12, and that's about it. And, of course, the Big 12 feels betrayed, obviously, the schools do. But that conference was never totally stable to begin with. They relied too much on Texas. And I said that the problem with the Big 12 has been the television sets. Mainly because they have Texas, Oklahoma, and then of course they have Lubbock, Waco, which is, you know, Texas Tech and Baylor. I mean, just a little, you know, West Virginia, that's a small state. And of course Iowa State. I mean, they just don't have enough TV sets to go around. I mean, it's because it's the Midwest. So, I mean, if they were going to expand, they were going to have to go at least somewhere where they can expand their footprint, which means grabbing a Florida school or going out west and finding something out there. I mean, they were going to eventually do something. But Texas, Oklahoma just aren't happy. And, well, Texas was going to leave no matter what, and Oklahoma just had to follow them because, you know, they could have stayed in the Big 12 and dominated and been the kings of that conference like they've been. But when it comes to recruiting, revenue, and all that crap, I mean, they have to go where the money is, and that's where the SEC is. Because when A&M joined the SEC, it pretty much opened the door for recruiting in Texas. And although SEC has a already had a presence in Texas, I mean, if you go in the oil and gas industries in Texas, a lot of SEC grads, a lot of Bama grads, LSU grads. I mean, when you go anywhere, you're going to have that. So where does this leave the rest of the Big 12? They could stay together and build something new without having to rely on Oklahoma and Texas, like the Big East did when Virginia Tech and Miami left, and Boston College left too, but they really don't count as as anything. And the Big East moved on and did what they had to do, but the problem is there was so much uncertainty with the Big East, with that conference, that eventually the battle was going to break. That the schools in the Big East, after expansion happened, there wasn't a whole lot of trust and there wasn't a whole lot of unity, because every school was looking for a way out, because they realized they were in a bad situation. It wasn't so much because the football conference was bad. I mean, they had some really good teams at one point. It's just that the revenue wasn't there and the leadership was behind the times. The leadership in the Big East was stuck in the 80s. Okay, that's why they ultimately failed. They couldn't get out. They thought that that John Thompson was still there, and Boeheim was a lot younger. Rolly Massimino, Louis Carnesecca. They thought all these guys were still there, and the Big East was the king of the freaking of the road show, and it wasn't that anymore. I mean, football ran everything, and they were still stuck with the basketball. I mean, they could have made the league more viable if they pushed the basketball product more. Maybe had a Big East network, add some more teams. Maybe had a 30-team conference for basketball where they could have chewed up all the NCAA bids, but never happened. And ultimately, they were very reactive in college expansion. I mean, it took Pitt's basketball coach at the time, Jamie Dixon. He had to go recruit. He recruited TCU to the Big East. I mean, that's how bad this was. I mean, our own basketball coach had to convince the Big East to let TCU in, and it really wasn't a bad idea, because TCU is in Dallas, Fort Worth, and there's a fertile market there for basketball. I'm sure that program would have been brought up more. They could have went and got Houston, and they would have pretty much had two big markets. Because Houston's a pretty fertile ground for recruiting in football and basketball. And with the right hire, that program would have been up. I mean, they could have, But no, they wanted to bring Villanova up for football, and that was it. They wanted to, their answer was, hey, let's let Villanova play Division I football. Yeah, how about let's not, and said we did. I mean, if you're going to go through that trouble, just invite Temple back into the league full time. Well, they were just football only, but still. So what happens next? The Big 12, they can build what they have. They can add Cincinnati, add Central Florida, probably South Florida. And, they can add Memphis, take some of the AAC schools, probably add Houston and SMU. If they add SMU and Houston, they get their Texas markets back, because they're adding two big cities. I mean, all the TCU has Dallas, Fort Worth, but still, though, you're going to grab those guys. You add Cincinnati, maybe Central Florida. And there you go. Maybe you add Temple as well. Get the Philly market. There's a lot they can do, but they're probably not sure what they're going to do. I mean, like I said, after when the Big East got raided, there was so much uncertainty and there wasn't a whole lot of trust. And that's the thing about the Big 12, is that's how they're going to operate if they stay together. They're going to operate. They're going to be united all up until somebody's looking for a way out. They're always going to be looking for a way out, no matter what. But if I'm the ACC, well, obviously you're going to add West Virginia. I mean, they, as far as TV rep markets go or whatever, they don't add anything. But they're a brand. They've had a, you know, for the most part, have had a decent football program. And, you know, they've been to several BCS bowls. I mean, they haven't done much in the Big 12 since they've joined. I mean, they've been pretty much middle of the pack in the Big 12. But with that Big 12 revenue, they've been able to update other facilities, and they're going to dump money into their programs no matter what. And of course, basketball, their basketball program's been really good as well. So, and they have a whole bunch of other stuff to offer. So, it's kind of similar to when they offered, you know, when they got Louisville, when they took Louisville over UConn. UConn supposedly fit the profile for the ACC, but Louisville was more of a, it was more lucrative. It made more sense because the UConn really, they really didn't add anything. I mean, they had a really good basketball program. I mean, men and women's, but they can just, you can just add Louisville for that, and you get the football program as well. But plus, Louisville's more dirty as well, and that's, you know, and they're gonna do what they can to get what, you know, what they want, and that's just how that is. And then, yeah, so West Virginia obviously is going to make sense. They're probably going to end up in the ACC. I mean, if I'm Penn State, I would actually would get them in the Big Ten. I would, you know, I think, I mean, Penn State didn't want to pin the Big Ten, but they get to, I mean, why not troll your rival by, you know, taking West Virginia? Would make more sense. And they're not much of a threat to Penn State, but I don't see that really happening. But I think, you know, as much, you know, but yeah, West Virginia probably ACC is inevitable. But I would, but if I were the ACC, I would go and I would look. You know, supposedly Oklahoma State is talking the ACC. I would grab Oklahoma State in a heartbeat. I know it sounds, yeah, it doesn't sound lucrative, you know, but they're a brand. They're really good football school, and they've had decent basketball too. I would grab them. I mean, if I'm the ACC, I'm grabbing who I can take. I mean, Baylor's gonna dump money in their programs no matter what. Go grab Baylor, TC. I mean, options are there for the ACC, but they're gonna wait to see what Notre Dame does. And I don't think, you know, Notre Dame's not gonna do anything. And if Notre Dame does join a conference, it's probably gonna be the super conference that they'll be forced to join when the SEC creates it. Because I mean, the SEC, I don't think it's gonna be done after this. They probably go after Florida and State and Clemson next. You know, that's inevitable. But I mean, supposedly they wanted to learn Michigan and Ohio State, but I don't think they're going to leave the Big Ten. But I do think if you want to force the conversation with Michigan and Ohio State, if I'm the SEC, I'd go after Penn State. Penn State hasn't felt welcome in the Big Ten since they joined, I don't know, 30 years now? Let's see, yeah. But almost 3 years now. They still haven't felt welcome in that conference. So if I was the SEC, I would go after Penn State. Say, hey, you guys haven't been welcomed here. Why don't you come join us and make a lot more money and get a lot more, you know, recognition and whatnot than you would in the Big Ten ever would give you. And that would be that. So, a lot to consider. And it's early. And what's great is it's early yet. I mean, we've had two schools leave. I'm sure it'll be more fun happening down the road. And if you want to have more fun, check out Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, insiders, real time. It's great for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. It's basically like Twitter. I mean, you're going to be doing your whole thing, doing your whole discussions on this app, and you ain't got to worry about, you know, Joe Schmo from whatever with his 20 followers and a dog gave you, you know, trolling you or whatnot or making your life miserable. You get to make your sports opinions and not have to worry about all that crap. All you do is download the app. It's in the iOS App Store or go to the Google Store as well. You create your profile, link your Twitter, and there you go. Check out, you guys. All right, now we're going to close out today with, because it's, what is it, Wednesday, it's hump day. The Olympics have been on, and you know what? The rings have been down, and to be quite honest with you, I really haven't had the desire to watch the Olympics. I know some people are going to say, well, it's because it's woke, and you know nobody wants to watch woke and political stuff. I mean, well, the Olympics is a bunch of countries competing for world dominance. So, I mean, you can't get more freaking political. You can't get more political than that. But, of course, there's more to this. I mean, like I said, if I'm choosing between watching Goodfellas for the billionth time on my Fire Stick and the Olympics, I'm going to watch Goodfellas. Because I'm going to have a great time watching Goodfellas. And I'm gonna do all the one-liners and whatnot. I'm gonna have fun with it. I'm not gonna watch the Olympics. But and there's a lot of people that aren't and have no interest in it. But all of a sudden, we have interest in the Olympics now, mainly because Simone Biles withdrew from that competition. And she did the focus on her mental health because she had a little mishap, and she felt she was going to be a liability to her team, and she pulled herself out because of that. And some people are deploying her decision, and other people aren't. They're mad at her because she quit. Biotechnicalities, yeah, she did quit. She did, withdrawing basically is quitting. But she did it because she felt she was a liability. I wish there were some major sports athletes that we had. I'm sure some in Pittsburgh that we wish would pull themselves out of certain things because they were liabilities. I mean, I wish John Smiley would have pulled himself out of the 1991 NLCS because he was a liability in that series. I mean, the Braves pretty much clubbed the shit out of him in that series. He pitched that game 7-2, and I remember I had so much uncertainty when he stepped on that mound as an 11-year-old kid because I knew they clubbed the crap out of him early in that series, and I knew what was going to happen. Of course, we gave up, I think, 3 runs early in that game, and he was so bad that we replaced him with Bob Walk, and Walk actually pitched a hell of a game. I mean, he was... I actually would have went with Bob Walk over John Smiley because Walk actually was pitching well in that series, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but I just remember I felt more at ease with Bob Walk than I did with John Smiley. And Bob Walk was an old man at that point. And I think John Smiley that year, I think he won 20 games, but he was hot garbage in that playoffs. And yeah, we lost in 7 games. And we never really... I don't think we ever... Let's look up John Smiley's stats, actually, to be honest with you, and see what happened to him after this. Because that begs the question. Let's see. Let's Google John Smiley. Here I am talking about the Olympics, and I'm looking up John Smiley's stats. And let's see. What's going on here? Because my thing is freezing now. Come on, this isn't cool. Google's freezing? Let me look up John Smiley. Yeah, my computer's freezing for some reason. Actually, my backspace stopped working. How'd that happen? Okay, let me go to Notepad real quick. Because I really don't want to go and operate without a fucking keypad today. Excuse my language. No, it's working. It's just my browser's trash. Probably there's some updates being pushed down. And yeah, let's close out of here. Because Google is... It's reload. John Smiley. All right, here we go. What happened to John Smiley? Well, he finished his career with 126 wins, 103 losses, the 3.0 ERA, which isn't too bad. I think he was a candidate for the Cy Young that year. Let's see. Yeah, 1991, he finished 20-8 Let's see, how many strikeouts did he have that year? 129. And that was about it. Let's take a look what else he did. He ended up with Minnesota the next year. Finished 16-9 that year. Then Cincinnati, he went to Cincinnati, where he was 3-9 and 11-10, 12-5, 13-14. Yeah, he was always... Yeah, he was always going to be that sub 500 pitcher, and in that playoffs he showed it. That series he showed it. God, I can't stand that. But yeah, he just, you know, they clubbed him around that series, and you know, I wish he'd have pulled himself back. I mean, there's, you know, I can't really comment so much on you know gymnastics is a mental thing and a lot of bouncing and whatnot and. If you're going to fuck up, you're going to fuck up. So she pulled out. And her team ended up winning a silver medal. And if she stayed in, they probably don't win nothing at all. And that's the thing. There was someone on Twitter who told me that if I, you know, I guess Ben Roethlisberger should have pulled out a Cleveland playoff game. You know, he should just, you know, withdrew. They fucking lost that game, dude. You know, gymnastics is a little bit different than gymnastics. There's no fucking two-point conversions in gymnastics, moron. There's no onside kicks. It's point scoring for what your routine is. And if you screw it up, you screw it up. So she did what she could. I mean, yeah, I mean, unless the guy was trolling me. But yeah, it was a horrible fucking take. And I was going to reply to it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my energy on someone like this. I'll talk about it here instead, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, one time during a hockey game, we had a goalie pull, and he quote-unquote withdrew because, well, it was an outdoor deck hockey game, and, well, he couldn't play no more because he was overheated and he was vomiting on the bench. And we played that game with an empty net. So I can understand if you're a teammate, if you can see a frustration now if somebody withdraws or they quit. I can see that. I mean, there's so many angles here. Social media is being blamed for this because supposedly, you know, Simone Biles branded herself as the greatest of all time and put too much pressure on herself. There's an argument there because let's face it, social media does make us think we're a lot bigger than what we really are. I mean, I have over 2,000 followers on my Twitter, and I barely get 40 people listening to my podcast. Just because I release a podcast doesn't mean the 2,000 people are gonna you know listen to it. No, half my followers are probably bots anyway, porn bots and whatnot. But, I mean, you get people who go on this app and they get the more followers they get, the more full of themselves they are. And a lot of them just have – some just have 5,000 followers and some have they get 10,000 followers. And a lot of times it's because they follow 10,000 people. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, social media does have that effect on us where we think we're bigger than what we are. And then we see other people, you know, they're taking these – lavish vacations, they're doing all this, and we wonder what we're doing with ourselves because we're not doing that. You know, a couple's taking a trip to Bora Bora or wherever, they're, you know, some exotic place, some really expensive place, and we're upset because we can't do that. Well, for all you know, they probably maxed out their freaking credit cards doing this. Or they took out a loan. You know? Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, what it is. And so people just put these unrealistic... I mean, people just... Even couples, too. I mean, they put these unrealistic expectations on themselves. I mean, you got people doing... They're doing these hashtag relationship goals, and they're not even in a relationship. I mean, if you're going to have those type of things, you're never going to be in one. I mean, you gotta be realistic about what you're getting yourself into. You know, don't The social media world is a lot different than the real world. Not everybody has a Twitter. Not everybody has an Instagram. So, I mean, that's just how it is. But, I mean, from my viewpoint, she pulled out because she felt she was a liability and they won a medal. I mean, there's people when I do projects at work and stuff like that, that I wish some people would just go do something else because they're not contributing anything. And, you know, she felt she wasn't contributing anything, so she left. I mean, that's really all the way I see it. I mean, if you want to see it, she quit and, you know, she made herself like she was this big person and she quit and didn't back up her talk. I mean, that's how you feel. That's how you feel. That's the way you see it. That's how I'm going to see it. I mean, I'm going to see that she withdrew and really, you know, did them a favor. Anyways, I'm done here, you guys. Have a great time. Rest of the week. Hopefully we'll have some more pit talk. We did talk sheets, but whatever. Hell to pit, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.